In a world where it seems like there's so much going wrong, I want you to see the people who are spending their lives doing and seeing the good. Welcome to the Doing Good podcast, where we discuss the stories of people who are changing the world in their own way. I'm your host, Carmen Herbert. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Doing Good. And today is a very bittersweet episode for me. I have had the opportunity to do over, I think it's 130 episodes of Doing Good. And we are going to do something new with the podcast and with the app. So stay tuned to see what is coming for our turtle house. It's under new ownership, and I cannot wait for you to see what new things we're going to show you in the next few months and weeks. And I think you're going to love the changes and the new content that we have. So Doing Good is being retired. And I thought it would be fun to go over some of my most memorable moments from the podcast. And gosh, as I was thinking about it, it's really hard to pinpoint everyone that has blessed my life on the podcast and to pick out a few of my favorites. Obviously, for the interest of the podcast, that's what I'm going to do. But I could do a podcast on every podcast that I did and the personal lessons that I learned. And I think more than anything, I've learned that anybody and everyone has the ability to do good in this world. I have interviewed mothers, coaches, authors, cake bakers, therapists, business owners, comedians, so many different people from so many walks of life, people that have owned and started nonprofits, people that have lost children, that have been through deep trials, that have dealt with addiction, that have been through divorce. And through it all, the underlying theme is that there is good in this world, and you can make, create, and look for that. Ultimately, for me, the author of all things good and lovely and praiseworthy is the Savior Jesus Christ. He is goodness personified. And when we do good, we emulate him. So with that in mind, I would love to talk about someone who is a beautiful representative of the Savior Jesus Christ in doing good through a unique talent that she has, and how she has personally been the Savior's hands for me in my life. And she may not even know the ways that she's blessed me, but her name's Amy.
I am committed to making a place where people can go, just your average home baker, just total amateur, where they can go and learn basic tips and recipes at no cost. My YouTube is completely free. My Instagram, you don't have to subscribe to cooking classes. You don't have to buy a cookbook. That's just been my mission and my goal. I'm not in this for profit. I'm willing to share all my recipes and tutorials, and just for the average, just home baker, anybody.
She is the creator of Neurotic Mom, and she bakes the most incredible cakes you have ever seen.
I do enjoy just discovering my creative outlets or my talents. And just like when I finish a cake and it comes out exactly like I envisioned, that is the most satisfying feeling. I love that. So I get satisfaction out of that. But I think the main thing with my social media, when I get these messages, I mean, they make me cry sometimes. One girl said, my aunt was dying from cancer, and in her last days to comfort her, we watch your videos together. Like, that just blows my mind. I can't even, so I get those messages, and that keeps me going, because I do get a lot of hate. Sometimes I want to close it all down, but it's those, I just know there's a purpose.
Isn't that funny that someone that is baking cakes and doing something just so fun and innocent and wonderful to bless the lives of those watching can get hate and criticism from a cake? Hate from a cake. Isn't that wild? So a few years ago during COVID, 2020, we were going through a really rough time as a family. My father-in-law, Gary Herbert, was governor.
And it was a very difficult time for so many people and so many families. And my father-in-law is an amazing man, and I support him and stand by him and still do to this day, and think he did such an amazing job of leading with integrity and leading with being calm and a steady, secure leader during a very insecure, scary, shaky time in the world. And we as a family received a lot of criticism and hate and death threats even during this time. There was a time where a bunch of people decided to protest, and they drove to my father-in-law's house in Orem with signs and weapons. And this is a place that we go to every Sunday for refuge. It's a place that we go to recharge and rejuvenate, to be with cousins and grandparents that we love, to spend time with family, and to have a little respite from the world, and to not even be able to go there and to pull in because of all the protesters was absolutely devastating and scary for my children, for myself, and for my husband. And a few days after all this craziness happened, I got a knock on the door, and it was my friend Amy from Neurotic Mom. And she had a beautiful sheet cake that she had decorated. And she just showed up and she said, "I am so sorry for what your family is going through. I didn't know what to do. I just baked you a cake." And I just broke down and wept. And that just little amount of kindness, showing up where she can, how she does, meant everything to me. She's like, "I don't know what to do, but I bake. So that is what I'm going to do to show up for you." It was an incredible gesture of kindness. And more than anything, just someone saying, "I see you, I notice you, and I care." So thank you so much, Amy, for doing good and blessing my life. You'll never know how much that meant to me and my family. Along those same notes, one of my very good friends, her name's Lindsay, she lost her baby girl, Harper, to cancer. And unfortunately, because it was COVID, we were not able to hold or attend her funeral. She had just a very, very small funeral with family. And then we got together, my friends and I, our high school friends that have known her for years, outside and released balloons, social distancing, of course. And it devastated all of us to not be able to support my friend Lindsay as she said goodbye to her sweet girl. Harper was an incredible, sweet, amazing girl who blessed so many lives.
Obviously, losing Harper didn't feel like the best thing. It still doesn't. But I think going through the years of treatment and her delays that came from brain surgery and other issues, the tender mercies is what got me through it. There were so many tender mercies and little things that if you could just look for those throughout the day, you're able to keep a positive attitude regardless of what you're going through. We were living in the hospital. She was going through surgeries. She was going through all of these things, but it didn't feel as bad because there was little things here and there that we were able to be grateful for.
When we knew that Harper was going to pass, I texted my friend Lindsay and I'm like, "I don't know what to do. I can't even come to you. I can't even show up to your house because of the COVID restrictions." So I sent Lindsay some songs singing to Harper. And Lindsay said, "I played those songs for her." And singing those songs for one girl in my living room late at night wearing my Hope for Harper shirt was such a special, tender moment for me. Just one little audience for an angel girl that was about to go back to her savior. And I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity to share my talents the only way that I knew how, which was through my voice and singing. And that was a very sacred experience. And I had the opportunity to interview Lindsay on my podcast, and she talked a lot about Harper and about parents that grieve and how you survive something like that, the death of a child, how you move on, how you rely on your Savior, Jesus Christ, to get through unimaginable, dark, trying times.
I just had to change that concept of if you have faith, you'll get your miracle. That's not always the case. You have to have faith that if you don't get your miracle, you still believe and you still have that faith and know that Heavenly Father has a plan and that He knows what's best and He has reasons for things and that He loves Harper more than I could ever love her. And trust me, that's a lot as a mother.
Yeah.
And so obviously He knows what's best. I just think I had to shift that mindset because a lot of times you hear stories of people that get that miracle and they'll say, it's because I had so much faith, or it's because I prayed and prayed and prayed, I got this miracle. So there were times when I would think to myself, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to change so that we can get this miracle? I must be doing something wrong. I'm not praying enough. I'm not having enough faith. I'm not reading my scriptures enough, you know, things like that. I'm like, if I can just do everything perfect, Heavenly Father will grant us that miracle. But that's not always the case. And it's hard to trust and to accept the fact that not everyone gets their miracle that they're hoping for. And that doesn't mean that you're loved any less by Heavenly Father. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. It just means that He has a different plan for you.
I'm so grateful, Lindsay, that you took the time to talk with me and to help other mothers that have been through or are going through the same thing and showing them how to turn to their Savior, Jesus Christ. Another person that I really loved talking with and learning from, her name was Jen. And Jen had been through a divorce, and she is an amazing resource on how to transform the trauma of divorce. Again, looking for the Savior Jesus Christ and everything. She talked about her husband's addiction to pornography and his unfaithfulness, figuring out the best route for her.
I lived literally hour by hour in faith because there's no instruction book for how to get a divorce. At least there wasn't then. There's a lot more help available online and resources, but we were so blessed. And it was just such a sweet time that I felt the Lord's love just wrap around me and my children and help us through that time.
It's very difficult during when you find out that your spouse has been unfaithful or when you felt betrayed in any way, shape, or form in a relationship and marriage. What to do? Where do you go from there? Do you repair or do you end things? And how do you know what the best route is? And she helps families navigate through that very difficult time of, okay, of course, there's always forgiveness. The betrayer, the betrayed, the family, the people that were involved in the affairs, there's so much forgiveness that needs to be given and received. And she helps families navigate that through coaching. And she said, I don't always encourage or suggest divorce. That's not always the right option, but sometimes it is. And if you find yourself in a situation where you have either been served or feel like you need to file papers, how can you do that? And is there hope after divorce? And she is such an advocate for, yes, you can still find your happily ever after.
I have just felt a call from the Lord to really try to help people. And it's such an honor and a blessing to be able to do it and to see the change that happens. Like when you just partner with the Lord, you can have happiness and joy in your life again and have a beautiful, wonderful life, even if it's, you know, you've had to go through this hard time and hard things. It's okay. It doesn't mean you can't have a beautiful, hopeful, happy life afterwards.
So she was someone that I loved talking with, and she has the most beautiful Southern accent, and I loved listening to her talk. She just sounds hopeful and happy and encouraging and is someone that you want in your corner. So Jen, thank you so much for coming on Doing Good and for allowing me the opportunity to talk with you and sharing your very vulnerable and personal story. I'm such a fan of Lisa Valentine Clark. She is hilarious. She is someone that I just think is the coolest. Like, I just want to be BFFs with Lisa. I think everyone does with Lisa Valentine Clark. And sometimes I think you have to experience the depths of sadness to be able to rebound and experience the highest of happiness. And she lost her sweet husband, Topher, and a few years ago. And she talks about watching her husband decline and then ultimately saying goodbye and using humor, even sometimes dark humor, to get through the loss of a spouse and becoming a widow.
There were a few months, especially soon after Chris's death, where I was like, this is really weird. I don't feel any hope that I'll ever feel any better. Like, and I am a very hopeful person by nature.
Yes.
So this was a very weird place for me to be in. And I actually studied hope. I have a sister-in-law who gave me these books on hope. And I was like, I am looking at this in a different way. And kind of the conclusion I came to that got me out of that place was, you know, not what I thought it was going to be. It was a very logical sort of process in that I thought, I didn't see any of this horrible stuff coming. So I can't predict the future. That proves it. So is it possible that I could be happy in the future? Is it possible that some, you know, something could change that I can't even think of now that I could live a happy life? Yeah, like logically, that has to be true because the converse was true. I tried other things. I tried everything. And that's the thing that like calmed my brain down to say, you don't know, and just enjoy life and as much as you can and enjoy those moments. And the horrible moments are going to come, but also the good moments are going to come. And just be more of a curious observer instead of trying to like plan out a course or plan
yes.
out the rest of your life and try to make patterns and try to make it more, you know, stop trying to control it and
right.
just try to train your brain to look for the more positive things and see what happens.
She is so optimistic. And sometimes she's like, and you know what? Sometimes life is just really hard and the days suck and it's just enduring to the end and getting through them. And it's truly her sense of humor. So Lisa, thank you for coming on my podcast and for talking with me about holding on to the Savior's hope as you also let go of something you love so much. Another good friend of mine who I was so grateful to have on the podcast is Matt Townsend. He's a relationship life coach. He's an author. He has a PhD. So I guess technically it's Dr. Matt Townsend.
What would probably be more called a positive psychologist. I am a coach. The difference with me is skills and tools. Most therapists have like an approach where they're going to psychoanalyze you to figure out what your root problem is. I honestly don't necessarily care why you're struggling, if that sounds weird. There's already solutions to fix it. So we could spend an hour and a half talking about where you're broken. What it tends to do is reinforce where you're broken. Or we could spend the same hour and a half talking about what it would look like if you were no longer broken. And once you start to give me examples of what it would look like when you're no longer broken, we can start moving you to those answers. And so okay. I'd rather move you to solution rather than spending too much time focused on the problem. Mm-hmm. And I think most human beings actually need more skills and tools than they probably need psychotherapy.
Matt also did like a live coaching session with me where I discovered I'm like a highly sensitive person. Well, I kind of already knew that. But he just walked through what that meant and everything from making my home calm and peaceful, shutting blinds if it's too bright, like little tiny things I can do to help if I'm feeling overstimulated or super sensitive or having like really obsessive thoughts and worries about things. And if you get a chance and you go back to listen to that, like take notes. Like I was furiously writing down, like I basically should have paid you for this. It was like a live counseling session. It was so great. And he's just, some people are just, they are helpers and they are fixers and they just know how to get you out of a funk. And he said, my goal is to get you unstuck.
It's like your football coach doesn't necessarily in the moment care why you're not making the field goal. He just wants you to kick the field goal.
Right.
We could talk about what happened when you were 12, But on the field now, that's not going to work. Because right now, if you can't kick the goal, I need to find someone that can. But there is a perfect place for therapy. And I think there's a perfect place for coaching and education.
So after you do the deep work and you figure out what is wrong, let me help you coach you out of that dark spot and get you to a better place. So Dr. Matt, you are the best. Someone else that I loved interviewing was Camilla Packer. I messaged her on Instagram. I sent her a DM. And she's been on Studio 5 with Brooke Walker a lot and just has the sweetest, most beautiful home. Everything about her life just seems sweet and lovely. It is not over the top. It is not crazy. She makes cookies every Wednesday. They do movie nights every Friday, and they make a snap associated with that movie. Her and her husband built their home a few years ago, literally built their home from the ground up. She just has, she loves to thrift, and she goes to thrift stores and finds these tender, just sweet little decorations and old fashioned books and desks to fill her home. Just her life is idyllic, and it's not perfect, and she doesn't pretend to be perfect. It's just what homemaking seems like it has always supposed to have been. She talks about finding contentment and joy in life.
I think the biggest advice I would give is take care of it. Do your best to take care of it. I think one of the things when I start feeling like that, oh, I don't have this, I need that. Sometimes I just go and say, I'm going to clean this room the best I can until I feel proud of it. And it does something to just put things away that have been sitting out forever that you've been meaning to put away, but you haven't. Kyle's got all over my house. And when you care for something you've been given, I think you have a lot of appreciation for it. And that's where appreciation comes from, is by caring for it, understanding it's a blessing to have those things. And it's a blessing to have a home to raise your family in that keeps you safe and dry and comfortable and all of those things. I think having that gratitude and appreciation for it, and the best way to get that gratitude and appreciation is just to take care of it.
Just these darling little reminders that life is supposed to be enjoyed. It doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be bigger and better. It can be if you want it to be. And if you love living that way, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we're comparing ourselves to others or trying to be just constantly thinking of, I have to be better at this and this has to be more, your home, a simple, sweet dinner around your family room table with fresh flowers, the smell of baked bread in the oven, a little lit candle, and a game night is maybe all that you really need to be happy and content in life.
There's just no way we can do all the things that we need to do. It's not possible. But if you choose the two things that matter most to you, that are going to bring you the most peace, and focus on them, even if anything else doesn't get done, I think if you've done the two things that bring you the most peace, you're going to feel like your day was successful. The things that are most important to me are food, feeding my kids. It gives me the most satisfaction and also gives me the most anxiety when it's not done. I feel like that's something that really stresses me out if it's dinner time and then they're hungry and I don't have anything prepared. So I know I have to make that a priority. And then the other thing is I like to do the work of today. So I like to start a load of laundry at night before I go to bed, start the dishwasher. If I've done those two things, I feel like it was a good day.
So I loved interviewing her about the joy of homemaking and have tried to incorporate some of her lessons into my own life and how to make dinner time especially important and a priority in our lives. The way to a boy's heart, I have found, is food. Food and praise, mostly food. And if you can praise them while they're eating food, that's the very best thing in the world. But Camilla has just shown me that it's those little traditions that do make a big difference and create a sense of belonging and security in a home. So thank you so much, Camilla, for teaching me that. Someone who I feel like shares so much light and goodness and who is doing their best to spread that in a very toxic online environment. And her name is Becky Squire. And Becky is basically just shares her latter-day lifestyle and teaches you how to share goodness online using your spiritual gifts.
Understanding your spiritual gifts is something that can truly boost your confidence because it helps you understand your purpose in life and how you can help others as well.
She's like, everyone has them. Everyone's been blessed with a spiritual gift. And she has a little quiz you can take to find yours if you don't know what it is. And also just encourages you to pray about your spiritual gift and the best way that you can use it to bless others' lives. But she's very bold in standing up for supporting the leaders of the church and the doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and not afraid to take on people that not disagree, but that like to argue online. And I don't know why that's a thing lately. Is we don't know how to disagree. And as our current governor, Spencer Cox, has said, like, we really do need to learn to disagree better. And Becky does a great job of kind of listening to people and then being able to talk things out with them as they send her DMs or make comments on her posts in a very non-argumentative way without continuing the contention. Becky, also, I earned so much respect for, because I sent her a direct message a little while ago about something that was on my mind. And instead of getting defensive about a post that she made or saying, well, you just interpreted that wrong, she's like, I can totally see that perspective. And I'm so sorry if it came across that way. Thank you for letting me know. And I thought, wow, how big of her to do that. And she could have easily have just not even responded to me. And she said, thank you. And we're all doing our best and trying to be better. And I hear you and I hear where you're coming from. And that earned so many points in my book.
We can share goodness without having to bear a testimony every time we post something. You can have fun and spread light and goodness, and people will take notice of that and they'll say, why is she like this? What can I do to be more like that? How can I learn? And hopefully they'll find the gospel through you.
So Becky, thank you so much for letting me talk out my feelings and being so kind about it. Someone else that I loved interviewing was Mata Shoppin. So her name is Bridgette Brianna, and I interviewed her and her husband, Jace. And they are, first of all, they're hilarious. And they're like world travelers. They travel the globe and they do so many fun, amazing things. They are constantly posting silly videos online, and she has a boutique and talks about, you know, her store and some backlash she received when her kids, people felt like weren't dressing modestly, and how dare they dress that way when their mom has a company called Modest Shoppin' or Sexy Modest. And so they talk about addressing all of those things and basically just how to love one another without judgment.
The truth is, it's the ordinary moments and the simple things that actually
comprise most of your life.
And also the fact that, like, when things get hard or there are trials or things like that cut you so deep you don't feel like you can come back from, the things that we want, it's never the extraordinary things. It's always the ordinary moments that we want back. The simple things, like, oh my gosh, I wish that I would find their dirty clothes on the floor. I wish that I would hear them walk in the door being loud and banging on the piano.
I wish I had to tell them to put their tallywhacker away. All the things that we feel like. No, but the thing here too, like, don't miss these beautiful moments of when your kid loses.
Yes.
Don't, the moment to put your arm around them and let them cry. And these are core memories. These are where you will teach them to become who they actually can become, because it's not about even them in this moment. You are affecting the people that they will teach down the line.
Something that I love about the Shammies is that they are just, they're so just unapologetically them. And they are so strong in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they do things their way, and they have a unique family culture and are able to possibly bridge the gap between people that maybe don't feel like they fit the typical Mormon mold.
Parenting is a challenge, right? You have to kind of just pivot and figure it out. And all your kids are different. They're all different. And I think, honestly, before it even comes to how you dress and modesty and all the things, is really creating a space in your home where it's a safe place for them. Like, they feel comfortable. You can have hard conversations and they know that you have their back and you love them, and nothing will change that.
They were just a blast to have on, and I really loved having them. An idol of mine, someone that I look up to so much, is Sister Michelle Craig. And I was just absolutely floored and so grateful that she took the time to come on my podcast and talk with me. And as soon as she came on, like as soon as I saw her face show up, I was like, my goodness, like you, I trust you and I want to be like you. And she had the spirit with her just so strongly. There are some people that just carry that love of Christ with them. It just shines forth from their face and personality. And Michelle Craig is one of them. And she said,
we're all on a journey and it looks different for each of us. But I think we need to be confident in a prophet of God and standing up with love and understanding for those things that we know to be true, that we love God first and we love others. And again, everybody's on a journey and yes, everybody's path looks different. And I think our perspective is limited, that mortality is just so small in comparison to eternity, but so much depends on it. Our motive just needs to be love. We love God first and we love others, and that's our job.
We love God first and we love others, and that's our job. And she is such a good example of turning to the Savior in all that we do, in making decisions in our lives when we're struggling, when we don't know why things are happening, and we need him to trust him and have just unwavering faith. So thank you so much, Michelle, Sister Craig, for coming on my podcast. Honestly, I could go on and on. I can go down the list and talk about everyone that has blessed me and lessons I've learned and even insights that someone would say something and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I've never thought of it that way. Or yes, that is something I'm going to do in my life, or something would click for me personally. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone does. Everyone has a purpose in this life and gifts to share. And man, I wonder if we really understand our capacity and our ability to do good. And I believe with all my heart that the best way to do that is through loving our Savior, Jesus Christ, and asking him how we can help do good to others. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of your life. Thank you for listening to this little podcast. And I hope that it has blessed and impacted your life positively in one way or another. And I hope and wish you all the best as you go about doing good.